Amen. I hope those will stay. Thank you so much. I'm glad that our Father loves us. He don't just tell us about it. He's demonstrated it. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that, Brother Pete? Amen. Amen, Pete.
Amen.
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 It's good to hear folks testify of the Lord's goodness in their life. It's good when God stirs in your heart, and we're thankful for that. We have some young folks here today that I want to recognize for an accomplishment in their life, and I'm going to ask them to come, and the church would like to present them with something before I preach the Word of God. Now, one of the young ladies is not able to be with us today. She'll be in the service tonight, Sister Lauren Merriman. Her family is out presenting the work, and so we have her gift, and we'll give it tonight. And so I'm going to ask Sister Haley Keys. Miss Keys, would you come? Where's Sister Lydia Harrison? Miss Harrison, would you come? Brother Shane Shiflett. Mr. Shiflett. These are three of our graduates this year. And we have a little something for you that we just want to say. First of all, I want to say congratulations to you on an accomplishment in your life. Haley, Miss Haley. I'm sorry, this is Miss Haley here, I think. Make sure I give you the wrong thing. Miss Lydia.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Shane. God bless you, Shane. There you go, buddy. I want you to stand right there for a moment. As I said, these are three of the four that are graduating. And, they're moving to the next phase of their life. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To see people accomplish things. You have so much promise ahead of you. All three of you do. And it's my prayer, and it's the prayer of these people, that you would achieve that promise. Don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil stop you short of all that God has for you. God has a lot for you. And I just pray that you would realize all that he does have for you in the years to come. I'm going to ask Pastor David, he's been their youth pastor for many years, and I'm going to ask him to come and say a word of prayer of dedication to their lives. Serve God with your life. Now, you are, but continue to do that. Would you do that, Pastor David?
All right, we'll have a word of prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for these three. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, God, for your goodness to us. And God, I want to thank you for your goodness to these three young people. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless their lives. God, how they've been blessed and fortunate to grow up in Christian homes and to grow up in a good church. And God, you've just been very good to them. And I pray, God, that they would realize that. And God, I pray that you would use their lives in a mighty way. God, you've used their lives already, but I pray you continue to in the days forward. God, I pray that you would just put a burning desire in each of their hearts to follow you and God, to fulfill your will for their lives. Oh, God, how I pray that you would just help them, Lord, as they navigate through the next phase of their life. God, I pray that they would lean upon you. And God, you've promised in your word that if we would lean upon you, if we would ask you, God, that you would guide our steps. And God, I pray that they would lean upon you. And God, I know that you'll guide their steps moving forward. Please, God, I pray that you continue to have your hand upon them and to continue to bless their lives and use their lives for your honor and for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor David. You may be seated. God bless you three. We appreciate you. And we pray nothing but God's best on your life moving forward. I want to preach a message to all of you, but in particular to these three and our young people today. So young people, it's always for you, but in a little more particular way this morning. So I want you to give close ear to what your pastor says this morning. Many times when we turn to Psalm 23, we would think, well, what in the world is in Psalm 23 for young people? Well, we're going to see. I believe Psalm 23 is for all God's people. I think I'm going to go ahead and read it. I started not to, but I think I'm going to go ahead and read it if I can locate it. I think I found it, or I brought it today. If I didn't, then I may read it another time. It's something that I had, I didn't bring it, but so there. I got your suspense all worked up for nothing. Amen. Something by Charles Spurgeon that was just talking about this psalm and how this psalm has just really touched and affected so many lives through the years. I know that it certainly has been a great encouragement to my life. And as Pastor David said this morning, if we're not careful, we'll take very familiar passages of Scripture like this and we'll just kind of skim over them because we think we know them. Perhaps you've memorized it. So many people have memorized this 23rd Psalm. I want us to take, a look at it again. Let's just look at the 23rd Psalm. There's a particular phrase that I'm interested in working my way to, and that's found in verse number 6. In verse number 6, the psalmist said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." And this next little phrase, "all the days of my life." All the days of my life. As I thought about these young people, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments, and I was already prepared to preach the fourth commandment, and God just would not let me move forward with it. And I kept going back to this, all the days of my life. As a pastor, I've been with a lot of people, and I've seen many days of their life. And I've heard people sit and tell me about all the days of their life. As a Christian, as God's child, God has brought before me on different occasions all the days of my life. He has allowed me to reflect, and I think that is what is happening here. If you'll notice the psalm, at the heading of the psalm, it says, "A Psalm of David." When David wrote this psalm, he was not a shepherd. He was a king. Now, he's writing it from a sheep's perspective, having been a shepherd. But David is not a young shepherd boy when he writes this psalm. David is an aged king. He has matured, and he has gone through the process of life. He has built a relationship from a young man to an older man, and we'll see some things he said about that here in just a few moments. And so I want you to know that this does not come from the pen of a young, inexperienced shepherd. It comes from the pen of an aged, mature king that has seen many things in his life. And as he is getting ready, perhaps, to sit down his pen, God says, "I want you to write this psalm." And he gave him a psalm, and he penned it down, as we know, the 23rd Psalm. And he said, "I want you to know that regardless of when those days were, it could be in your young days, it could be in your aged days, it could be in your good days, it could be in your bad days, it could be in your spring days, it could be in your summer days, it could be in your autumn days or your winter days, it can be in your productive days, it could be in your non-productive days, it can be in those days that everything's going right, it can be in those days when everything's going wrong, but I want you to know something, that God, as your shepherd, will be with you all the days of your life."
Amen.
And I just want to say that God has been with me all the days of my life.
Amen.
Oh my, what a blessing to know. Young people, listen to me. I don't know what God has in store for your life, but I know this. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have a promise here.
Amen.
For all the days of your life. And I want to give you that promise. But before I do, I want to kind of set the table for you a little bit. All right? As I look at this psalm, there's just so much. How can you exhaust, and I'm not even capable of doing that, but how could a mortal man exhaust what we've just had read in our hearing? There is no way. I look at this psalm, and someone has said this about this psalm. It says it's the secret to happiness. In verse number 1, we have the secret to a happy life. Every need supplied. Look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. In verse number 4, we have the secret to a happy death. He said the secret to a happy death is the removal of fear, or every fear removed. Look at verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God will not only be with us in life, God will be with us in death, and thank God he will be with us in eternity. The Bible says that the secret for a happy eternity is found in verse number 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. It doesn't get any better than that. God has promised to be with us in each stage of our life, all the days of our life, and then beyond that, in eternity. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of God's fold. I want you to notice something. Last week when we were talking about the names of God, I gave you a sheet of paper. Several of you, all of them were gone. I actually had someone ask me for some copies, and I'll bring some more tonight, on the Jehovah titles. Did you know that there's a key to this psalm, and I don't want you to miss this, okay? David is not just talking about a shepherd. He's not only talking about a good shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. David is not merely talking about the great shepherd of the sheep. He's not talking about the shepherd, the one and only. David made it very personal. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. So many people that are saved have not followed through in discipleship and in intimate knowledge. Did you know David said, Paul said, that I might know him. Oh, that I may know him. He said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, I want to know him in an intimate way. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I want an intimacy with him. I want a relationship that is deep with him. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. See, that's where it gets good, young folks. Listen to me. When you know that the Lord is your shepherd, he's not just a savior, he's your savior. He's not just a friend, he's your friend. He's just not a provider, he's your provider. He's just not a protector, he's your protector. See, God will be all of that to you. God will be all of that. And David had built that relationship. He had spent time in the secret place of the Almighty. He had spent time in the presence of God. He had spent time with God. And God had made himself real to David. Real to David. And so David could write this psalm and he could say, surely. He said, I know him. Amen. He said, I know him. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What is David saying? Notice what he said here. This is the personal relationship that David said. Did you know that every one of the Jehovah titles are mentioned in this psalm? Notice, if you would, in this psalm, let's just go down and see the Jehovah titles. I hope that you wrote them down or you got that paper last week. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's Genesis 22. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Amen. And because the Lord will provide, I shall not want. In verse number 3, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That is Jehovah Shalom. Judges chapter 6, the Lord is my peace. Aren't you glad for the peace of God that passeth all understanding? See, David is saying, I want you to know how I know him. And I know some things about God. And I pray that every young person in this building would know some things about God. Not, listen, in a personal way, in an intimate way. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. That is Jehovah Rapha. That's Exodus 15:26. The Lord that healeth thee. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jeremiah 23:6, the Lord our righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That is Jehovah Shammah. Ezekiel 48:35. The Lord is there, or the Lord ever present. He said in verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. When he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, he said, that is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Can I tell you, God will never leave you. God will never leave you to yourself. God will never leave you to your own. He'll always be there. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. That is Jehovah Kadesh, which is in Leviticus 20, verse number 8, the Lord that sanctifieth thee. See, David had built this relationship with God. It's not just something that David woke up one day and said, you know, I believe God's going to do this for me, or I'm hoping God's going to do this. When you read this psalm, it's about David and God. Look at it. He and me. He and me. He and me. That's the psalm. Look at verse number 2. He maketh me. He leadeth me. Verse number 3. He restoreth my. Verse number 3. He leadeth me. It's just me and him. David said, I've spent time with God. I know him in a personal way. I know him in an intimate way. And he's saying, if you will spend time with God, you will never lack anything in this life that you need. Now, I'm here to tell you, brethren, that's a promise from the Word of God. Amen. And so David had said, the Lord is my shepherd. In verse number 1 through 3, in these first three verses, if you'll notice, David is talking about the Lord. He's telling us what God will do for him, what God has done for him. He does this. Notice it in verse, he's speaking in the third person. He maketh me. It's like he's telling us. Let me tell you what God has done and what God is doing. That word maketh and leadeth, it's a continual action. God has done it and he continues to do it. God continues to give me rest. God continues to give me peace. God continues to give me healing and restoration. God continues to give me leadership in my life. He's saying, this is what God is doing for me. But now something changes when David, in verse number 4, it goes from what God is doing to prosper him to what God is doing in adverse times. Can I tell you, it's in the times of adversity that our God gets really near. Now I want you to notice what happens in verse number 4. Yea, though it's no longer me. He's speaking in the first person. And he's no longer speaking about God. He's speaking to God. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. See, he's talking to God now. He's not talking about God. He's talking to God. Can I tell you, that is the kind of relationship that every person under the sound of my voice needs to build this morning with God, to where you're not just talking about him, you're talking to him. A relationship, an intimate relationship. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast done it. Thou anointest my head. And so he goes from talking about God's provision to God's protection. And then he closes with this, and this is what I want to zero in on. He closes with this promise. He says, God will provide for our young people. Are you listening? There's a group of older people in the church today. We could get them one by one to come up here and stand behind the pulpit and tell you how God has met our needs. God meets the needs of his people. Amen? How about it, aged folks? Amen. And then these young folks need to know that our God is not just some whim for a moment, that our God is just not the God of the mountain. Our God is the God of the mountain and the valley. Our God is God in the good times and the bad times. Our God is a God for all the days of our life. Amen. That's our God. Our God's not a sunshine God only. Amen. If you'll turn over just for a moment before we get in that verse number 6, I want you to notice David. I believe, again, he was reflecting in Psalm 37. Would you turn there in Psalm 37? The Bible says in verse number 23, I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 37. We'll go back to Psalm 23 in just a moment. And look at that verse number 6, and then I'll be done for today. But I want you to look at verse 23. David again speaking said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." He said, now listen, if you'll let God, he'll direct your paths. God will direct your steps. And that's what life is. It's just one step at a time, young people. You know, if we're not careful, even as we get older, we'll be planning for next week, or we'll be planning for next month, or for next year. And I'm for preparation. I'm for planning. I'm for structure. But it's not, listen, God wants us to live it one day at a time. And the psalmist said right here, one step at a time. And that's what life is an accumulation of. One step at a time. Put one foot in front of the other. Amen. And he said, the steps of a good man, verse 23 of Psalm 37, of a good man are order of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall. So I'm not going to fall, preacher. Well, now, I wish to God that you wouldn't, but you're going to fall. Amen. You're going to have a setback in life now. Now, I'm not wishing that on you, and I'm not trying to be gloomy and doomy. I'm just being real with you. You're going to have some bad days. Amen. You're going to have some setbacks. But you know this, that God will be there all the days. Even in the days of your setback, God will be right there by your side. He said in verse number 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now watch this. This is the verse I was wanting to get to. I have been young, David said. I've been where you are. But now I'm old. I am where you're headed. That's what he's saying. Amen. He said, I've been where you are, but I am where you're headed. And he said, I've got some advice for you. I've got something I want you to know. I've taken inventory. I've looked around me. And he said in verse number 25, he said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, God has been there as I've looked around and taken inventory. And God has met the needs of his children. And God will meet your needs too. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 37. He said, you don't believe me? Mark the perfect man. Mark that man that's living for God. Mark that man that's been saved and that the Spirit of God lives in him. Mark that person that's serving Jesus. Mark the upright man. Mark the complete man. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Amen. So well, the world is full of calamity. The world is full of all violence and anti-God and anti-Bible and all this stuff going on in the world. He said, I'm going to tell you what. You can have peace in the midst of the turmoil. You can have peace with God. Peace with God. If you'll just submit yourself to him. If you'll just come under the shepherd's authority. If you'll just stay in the fold as a sheep. Amen. Now let's go back and we'll close in Psalm 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's where it starts. See, a lot of people want goodness in verse number 6. A lot of people live in verse number 6. But you can't live verse number 6 until you get in verse number 1. Right? See, you can't be assured that goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life until you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. 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 Everybody can claim, well, I want to latch hold of verse number 6, preacher. Well, you need to take hold of verse number 1, and then you can latch hold of verse number 6. Amen. And so he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then you get down into verse number 6. Now, remember now, he said, I've been young. He said, now I'm old. I was a young shepherd boy. Now I'm an older king. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been through a lot of things. If you've ever studied the life of King David, and we have here at the church, you know some of the things that David faced. He said, I want to tell you something. Look at it, verse number 6. Surely. I like the way that verse starts. I like those words of affirmation. Amen? I do. I like those words of acclamation. Those words that are sure, that have a, listen, exclamation. Surely, he said, surely. Just as sure as I know that he is my shepherd, I know this, what I'm getting ready to tell you. He said, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, folks, sometimes God will do this for you. And if he hasn't done it for you recently, It's my prayer that God would do this for you. Sometimes you can just get alone before the Lord and you can humble yourself in His presence, and God, like He did for Moses, will allow all of His goodness and all of His mercy to pass before you. I believe God was doing this right here for David. I believe God was just reminding David, David, I was there when you stood before Goliath. That's why you could say the battle's the Lord's. I was there. That was a good day. But I was there when you sent Uriah out to the front line of the army too. That wasn't a good day. That wasn't a good day. When you stood before Goliath, you needed my goodness. But when you sent out Uriah, you needed my mercy. And he said, I want you to know that the goodness and the mercy will be there all the days of your life. And I believe David reflected back over his life and he saw how that God was good and God was merciful and God was good and God was merciful and God was good and God was merciful. Has God done that for you recently?
Amen.
Have you ever got before the Lord and just began to humble yourself before the Lord and realize where God found you and what God has done in your life, and God began to take you back and to bring you forward to where you were, to where you are right now, and you realize only by the grace of God, only by the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. He said this in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy. I thought about that, the goodness of God. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the goodness of God. It does. I think it's Psalm 25, verse number 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Psalm 27, verse number 13 says, I had fainted, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 34, verse number 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Have you tasted? Have you saw? The Lord is good. Psalm 107, and verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Brethren, God is good. And His goodness is made available for us. Someone said His goodness are for our steps, the steps of a good man. His goodness are for our steps. His mercy is for our stumbles. But I'm glad that God gives both, aren't you?
Amen.
It was Jeremiah who wrote in Lamentation. He said, if it were not for the mercies of God, we would be consumed.
Yeah.
Amen? We would. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. What does that mean? Listen to me now. They are new every morning, every day of my life.
Amen.
All the days of my life. Every morning, all the days of my life. It is of the mercies of the Lord that we're not consumed. Goodness and mercy. I'm so thankful for God's goodness and mercy in my life. Aren't you?
Amen.
Goodness and mercy. Psalm 136 said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. 26 verses in that psalm, all of them end, His mercy endureth forever. Why, preacher? Because Micah, the prophet, said in chapter 7, he said, for He delighteth in mercy. Aren't you glad that God delights in mercy?
Amen.
Goodness and mercy, young people. Listen to the preacher today. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. All of them. All of them. When I think of this verse here, it says, surely goodness and mercy, look at that, shall follow. See that word follow? It's a very interesting word. It literally means to pursue. To pursue. It's almost like when I got saved, and I didn't realize this. There's a lot I didn't realize when I got saved. There's still a lot I don't realize that God has done and is doing in my life. It's like when I got saved. I got saved October the 26th in 1980. Unbeknown to me, God summons two heavenly helpers and said, you see that kid right over there? That 19-year-old kid? I want you to get on his trail. And I want you to pursue Him all the days of his life.
Amen.
Can I tell you, when I look back to those days and I just track, I can honestly say, as God is my witness, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Amen. Can you say that? Amen. You can if you would just be honest before God and yourself. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Now I'm going to close with this, and I want you to listen very carefully. I do not think, the last thing I'd ever want to do, I'm a Bible preacher. I like to stay right in the Bible. Amen. And I don't think I would do any harm to the Scriptures by saying this. I believe what David is saying here, I believe he's saying goodness and mercy. I believe he's looking back and he's saying, you know what? Goodness and mercy was following me. It was following me. Amen. God got those two heavenly helps, those two heavenly hosts, that goodness and mercy been following me. He looked back on his younger days and he said, you know, I look back and I've done some stuff. You know, I pretended to be a madman. Let slobber run down my beard. I've done some silly stuff in my life. He said, as a young man, I believe he's looking back and he's saying, but you know, goodness and mercy followed, past tense, followed me even back in that day. And then I think he's looking at his time now and he said, not only has goodness and mercy followed me, but goodness and mercy are following me. Yeah. And then he says, because goodness and mercy have followed and are following, I can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Aren't you glad for God's goodness and mercy in your life?
Amen.
God is good to us, brethren. Amen. You know, God is good to us, and I pray that we would not take for granted the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. So, well, preacher, that's so God's going to follow me with his goodness and mercy. Could you imagine if that were taken away from you? What if God didn't follow you? What if God was not there for you? What if God's goodness and his mercy were not at our disposal? Where would we be without God's goodness and God's mercy? Young people, you don't have to go through life alone. Most of you have parents that love you and have trained you and tried to do what's right by you, and I pray that you would be appreciative of that. You have a good church family. You have a pastor who loves you, a church family who loves you. You have a good support group. But more importantly, you have a God in heaven who loves you, who sent his son to die for you, who give you a manual for life. It's right here. This right here is the manual for life. And if you'll get to know God through this book right here and through prayer, you will be able to say one day in your life, I hope you're able to say it right now, goodness and mercy have been following me all the days of my life. You can say that when you're 19. You can say that when you're 30. You can say that when you're 50. You can say that when you're 80. You can say, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Say, well, then it's over, preacher. Nah. David said the best is yet to come. Look at it. And there's always that and, because this life is not all there is. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. David said, first of all, there's totality all the days of my life. Then he said, there's reality. I will dwell. One day I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen. That's a reality, brethren. Amen. Now listen, folks get so hunkered down and tied to this world that we lose sight of the fact we're going to heaven one day. Going to heaven. And then he said eternity. He went from totality all the days of my life to reality. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. We're going to heaven. Now, it's real. But he said it's not just for a vacation. It's not for a week or 2 weeks. It's forever. We're going to heaven forever. So all of this in heaven too. Right? You know, there's a reverse side of that. For people who do not know the Lord, for people who will not follow the Lord, for people who will not know the peace of the Lord, it's all of this madness in hell too. What a terrible way. Some folks say, well, my hell's on earth. You know little about hell. I want to ask you to stand with me if you would. Past couple of weeks, God has just been kind of bringing before me all the days of my life. And just reminding me how good He's been to me. I don't ever want to lose sight of that. I don't want to ever take for granted the goodness of God. Someone said, the goodness of God is God giving us what we don't deserve. The mercy of God is God not giving us what we do deserve. And I'm grateful for both. The goodness and the mercy of the Lord all the days of my life. Young people, you may have many, many days. You may have a few days. No man knows what a day may bring forth. We don't know. But I'll tell you this. If you'll stay in the fold, build a strong relationship with your shepherd, and you will be able to say with this sheep who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I don't know that you could have a better promise than that. Let's bow our heads together.